So open our Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Begin there just a moment. This morning's class, I heard a comment, we all want to get to heaven. Just not right now, I guess, is the way it is. And we need to consider that. What kind of desire do we have about being with God forever? That's a choice that each of us has to make and what we're going to do. And I read somewhere that, you know, God hasn't sent somebody to take us by our throats and force us to read the Bible, to force us to assemble with the Christians each Sunday. When God created man, he gave us free choice. And we're different from all the rest of his creation because we have that power of choice. So we have that privilege. God's not going to force us to choose the right. And with that privilege, though, there are some very terrible consequences if we don't choose the right way. And we see that throughout the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 38, when the gospel is first preached, they're asked the question, what do we do? What do we do? And that's important because there's something that each of us must do. He says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They that gladly received the word were baptized, about 3,000 souls that day. Look at verse 42 again. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And that's important. When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to continue steadfastly in the teachings of the apostles that they received from the Lord and by revelation from the Holy Spirit. If we don't continue, if we're not obedient, if we go off course, there are going to be consequences. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Again, just to acknowledge the things that we have written for us are from God. In 1 Corinthians 14, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. Did I say that correctly? All right. So again, we have specific commandments about what we're to do. I'd like us now to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. It was brought out in this morning's class that many people today are ignorant about God's word, about what we find in the scriptures. Here's an example in the Old Testament when we read how God deals with people. God chose him a people, Israel. God gave them very specific instructions on what to do. They were given one place that they were to worship God. And we see time and time again that they went away from what God had commanded them to do. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see here that a prophet is going to confront them. And they have a choice to be made. Now we need to look at the history here. These people had built different places and they're worshiping other gods. They're worshiping the gods of the peoples around them. And they've done this for some time now. They do know somewhat about the God they're supposed to worship, but they've chosen a different path. In 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning verse 17, then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Now please look at that question again. Is that you, O troubler of Israel? Now this is the prophet of God. This is the one that God has brought the message to these people about things they need to do. And notice Ahab is probably one of the most wicked kings, not the wicked, but one of the wicked kings. And who is he calling a troublemaker? He's calling the prophet a troublemaker. Is that happening today? People who want to follow God, they are the ones who are called the troublemakers. Now, Elijah, in verse 18, answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals, worshiping other gods." What's he doing? He's pointing out the truth. It's not me that has troubled Israel. Him as king, he has a leadership position in the country. He had a responsibility to make sure that the people are doing as God had commanded them to do. If they don't obey God, there are going to be consequences. And Elijah here is warning them once again, it's not me who's a troublemaker, it's you. That you have allowed the people to follow after the Baals. Look at verse 19 now, because we need to think about the people. The people have been worshiping these other gods. They haven't been getting leadership from those in position of power. And this has been going on for quite a long time. It's the acceptable thing to do, to worship in this false way. Now, Elijah is here for a specific purpose. He wants to help turn the people back to God. In verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Now there's going to be a confrontation, a big confrontation. And notice, gather all these prophets, 450 of Baal and 400 of Asherah. And all the people are going to be a witness. Verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." Is that option open to us today? How long are you going to choose between these two different paths? Are you going to follow these gods of the world, the false gods, or are you going to follow the God of Israel? And look at the latter part of verse 21. But the people answered him not a word. They did not answer or respond that they would follow the one true God. And I'd like you to consider that for just a moment, because maybe you have spoken to someone and maybe you have put this before them. You have a choice to make. What kind of choice are you going to make today? Verse 22, then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left of the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men." Again, we need to think about that. He's not alone. Later on, it's going to be pointed out to him. He's not alone. There are 7,000 there who have not bowed their knee to Baal. But he believes that he is alone. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. And now he's going to put before them a challenge. And we're going to consider this challenge for just a moment. Because either there is the power of Baal and Asherah, these other gods, or there is the power of the one true living God. Is that what we face today? Yes, that's what we face today. We're going to listen to the teachings in this world, the prayer that Richard brought out this morning, how people will twist and turn and lie and make their religion convenient for them. Or to follow the one true living God. That's the options that we have today. Look at verse 23. He's going to make the challenge. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I want you to notice, he makes the challenge, bring the bulls, but he lets them choose which bull they want. He lets them make the choice. You choose which bull and build the wood all around it and prepare. Verse 24, then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Do we see the challenge here? And I want you to picture it. 850 prophets of these false gods, priests of these false gods. All the people of Israel there, King Ahab, witness, and we have 850 against one. Verse 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves, prepare it first, for you are many, call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped upon the altar which they had made. So here they are, and you can picture this. All of these people praying to their God, asking for what? For fire. And they do this until noon, and all the people are watching, and nothing happens. Nothing happens at all. And so it was noon, verse 27. Then Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he is busy. He is on a journey or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So what's he telling them? What's he doing? He's pointing out that this god of yours is either asleep or he's busy or something's going on here. Cry aloud to them. He must be awakened. So verse 28, they continue. They cried aloud. They cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. So you can see the frenzy that they're in now. There's the challenge. All of them praying to their God to send fire to consume this bull, this offering that's there. Verse 29, and when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. So the time-wise, they're doing this from morning till noon, and then from noon until the time of the evening sacrifice. That's a long time, isn't it? All this screaming, all this hollering, all this praying, cutting themselves, bleeding there, and there's no response whatsoever. And all the people are witnessing this. He continues. And we take a look here, verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. What's he doing? He's building the altar. He's preparing it. 12 stones, the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Verse 32, then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold two sieves of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. So now you see the altar prepared. The stones are there. He cuts the bull. Are we ready now for what's going to happen? Now I want you to think about this for just a moment. Our God created us. Our God prepared a people for him. Is that a true statement? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the judges, the prophets. Time and time again, Israel is shown the power of God. time and time again. And here we see, once again, because the people have strayed away from God, God is going to once again demonstrate who he is. Notice the way he does this. He put wood in order, cut the wood in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So notice the water is poured on the wood, on the sacrifice. Look at verse 32. Do it a second time. Think about this. Put all that water on it a second time. And then do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Now I want you to think, I'm not an expert at building fires. My wife is. She does them all the time out back there. And she's great at it. I'm telling you, she can get that fire going. But how can anyone, when you've drenched it not once, not twice, but three times, get that fire going? Now, I'm a physicist, and I know you can't do that, all right? Not with the water there. You need a temperature to take place. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, now I want you to note what Elijah is going to do. What's he going to do? He's going to pray to God. He's going to pray to God. When we have needs in our life and we have times of difficulty, when we rejoice and we're thankful, we're grateful, what should we do? We should pray to our God in all circumstances. Now look at his prayer there in verse 36. Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Who's going to get all the credit and all the glory and honor for this? God is. Now that's a true man of God, isn't it? A true man of God is not going to say, look at me, but they're going to turn to God and give God the glory and the honor and the praise. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. There's the prayer. Do we need that prayer today? Do people's hearts need to be turned back to God? Yes, we need that greatly. And this is something that we, I think, need to pray about. For those people in our world today to turn their hearts back to God again. Then look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now I want you to picture that for just a moment. It's been drenched with water how many times? Three times. He says his prayer, and what happens? The fire comes down and consumes the offering, the water and everything that's there. And who's witnessing this? The people of Israel are witnessing this. Verse 39, and when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So here we see now the people acknowledging that this is God. And that these other items, other objects of worship, is not God. And that is so important. Now, today, as Christians, who are we to follow? Who are we to follow? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew 28, verse 18. Now, I wish I could do what Elijah did here. Can you imagine that today? Make a challenge, all you false teachers. Come here, build your altar. Put your bull upon it, call upon your gods. And then pray, let them pray from morning till evening and nothing happens. And then to pray to the one true God in a demonstration of his power. And notice the wonderful effect. But here's the tool we have today. And this is so important. God has given us what we need to do his will today. In Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. There's our commandment. There's our instruction. And that's what we're to do. Make disciples of all men, baptize them, then teach them to observe all the things that he has commanded us to do. Now that's exactly what Paul did and others. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Because here we see that Paul is commending those who, when they hear the word, they respond in such a way that they're obedient to it. He says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. So they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to them. And that's the pattern that we need to follow today. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean today? Has the pattern changed at all? Now, that was brought up this morning as we observed the Lord's Supper, because we can look at how people through time around the world have changed and modified what they think is acceptable to God, and it's no longer acceptable to them. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Because here we see that there's something that we need to be warned about. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? To repent. You might be here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel. This is a commandment from God to repent. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Romans chapter 6. That repentance is part of what God wants us to do. And this verse here helped me to understand that there was something I needed to do to be right with God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into the Pentecostal church were baptized into his death? It's not what it says. We are baptized into who? We are baptized into Christ. And that's important. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are baptized into Christ, and we walk in newness of life. So again, there's a pattern. We need to repent of our sins. We need to be baptized. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. So again, obedience is important, and now we become obedient unto righteousness. Well, the lesson is yours this morning. Again, we look at the pattern. And it's something we see throughout God's word. The message God gives to each and every one of us. And then we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow God's commandments, or are we going to reject them? That's the choices that we have to make. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. And if you hear you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.